Amen. Father God, thank you for this time we have, Lord, together to dig into your word, to know you more. Father God, help us to have open hearts that are ready to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Build us up tonight, Father God. Be glorified in our presence, Lord, as we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In middle school, I was on the wrestling team. And I was actually a pretty good wrestler in middle school. I wrestled over at Canyon Middle School. Anybody in here ever wrestle for school before? Any wrestlers in here? Not a single wrestler. I'm not talking about WWE. It's not that. It's not professional wrestling like that. But in high schools and in middle schools, they have wrestling teams. And I was part of the wrestling team. When it came to team sports, I didn't really have the finesse, like for basketball or something like that. But when it came to one-on-one, me against the other guy, I did pretty good. And so eighth grade comes around, and that year, I couldn't lose. I was doing really good that year. And so actually, it was probably the year in my life when I was the most cocky, actually. I mean, just outright cocky. They said, "Hey, Caleb, you know Joe Jazzy? Joe Jazzy said he's actually the best one on the wrestling team." I said, "What?" I was offended that somebody thought he was better than me. And so I go up and I say, "Joe, people are saying that you say that you're the best one on the wrestling team." He goes, "Oh, Caleb, we know that you're great and stuff." He goes, "But I'm 200 pounds and you're 130 pounds. So I could beat you. So technically I'm the best, but you probably got better skills. I'm just way bigger than you." I said, "Joe Jazzy, you and me after practice, let's go." And so practice ends. Joe Jazzy and I, we line up. I grab him, slam him down to the mat, pinned him in about 5 seconds. I threw the guy down and I was like, "Joe, who's the best?" And he just gives me a thumbs up. So anyway, this year, I just felt like I was at the top of my game and was doing very well. And so what I would do was, I would actually, when we'd have wrestling meets, I would wrestle weight classes above my own. So it would be a little tougher. And so I think it was my coach's idea. And every time I wrestled, I always wore the red anklet. They would put an anklet on your ankle and then they would keep score over here at the table. So it was always red and green. So you would see who's ahead, who's getting the most points over here. Okay. And so we're lined up and we're going to this meet and I'm wrestling up a weight class and I see the guy I'm about to wrestle and I'm thinking, how many weight classes above me is he? This guy's huge. I'm going up against him and we're wrestling. We're going back and forth. You guys, has anybody ever played football before? Any football players in here? Okay. You know, football gets you in shape, right? I mean, they have you running gassers, you're running drills. You guys, wrestling is a whole nother level. I went to the first day of wrestling practice after football season. Had been playing football all season, end of the season, I'd been running like crazy. I go to my first practice of wrestling, I went home and threw up. Okay, wrestling's a whole nother level. So here I am, I'm wrestling this guy who's a lot bigger than me. During the match, he picks me up. Wham! Slams me on the mat. My head bounces off the mat. Get up. Keep wrestling the guy. Barely edged out a win. I beat the guy. And I am winded. It went all 3 rounds. Each round was a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And you're just going for it the whole time. Went all 3 rounds. I go and I start walking off the mat. And right as I'm walking off the mat, they call my name over the loudspeaker for me to wrestle again. They go, "Caleb Pape and this other person, you're up." And I'm like, "Whoa, wait a second. You guys, I just walked off the mat." Usually they'll give you a half an hour or even a couple hours to recover before your next match. And they said, "Oh, we'll give you more time. We'll give you more time." I said, "You know what?" Remember, I was a little cocky this year. I said, "You know what? Forget it. I'll go. I'll go right now. Let's go ahead and go." So I just walk back onto the mat, put on my anklet. What color did I always wear?
Red.
I wore red all the time. I get in there and I start wrestling this guy. We go for it. In wrestling, you're allowed to tap the person on the head so you could kind of make him blink and you could go in for a shot. Every time this guy taps me on the head, the room goes black. It's like tap, blackout, everything comes back. Remember, I hit my head the match before. So I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So I'm doing everything I can. I'm wrestling this guy. One round goes by, The second round comes up, wrestling the guy. And I'm looking over and I'm like, man, Green is ahead. I'm giving it everything I got. And it seems like no matter what I'm doing, I'm not even really thinking about keeping score. I'm just looking over at the scoreboard and I'm just thinking, how is Green ahead? And this is another guy who's bigger than me. And I'm winning all three rounds. I love to beat somebody when you pin them. That's a nice fast wave. When you got to go all three rounds, though, and then two matches in a row, oh my goodness, I was wore out. I saw Green is ahead. They grab our hands, ref standing between us, raises up my hand. What? I look down, I'm wearing the green anklet. I'm wearing the green anklet. Somehow, by the grace of God, I was able to etch out a win. And I'm wrestling this guy as hard as I can. The whole time I'm thinking he's ahead. The whole time I'm thinking I'm losing. And it turns out I was wearing the green anklet the whole time. I don't know how hard I hit my head, guys. Maybe we'll go colorblind for a second. I don't know. But I ended up winning when I thought I was losing. I ended up winning when I thought I was losing. I was pressing to do everything I could, and it felt like I was losing. I was wore out. I was tired, but I was thinking, I'm still going to try. I'm still going to press. I'm still going to give it everything I got. Green's still ahead. It's coming up on the last seconds of the match. I got to give it everything I got. It looks like I'm going to lose. And I had no idea I was winning the whole time. You know, sometimes in this Christian life, you're pressing towards God. You're doing your best to seek Him. You're doing your best to honor Him. You're finally making that time to get into His Word. You're setting apart that time to pray. You're asking Him, Lord, help me on the job. God, help me to lead my family. Lord, help me to raise my kids. God, help me as I'm going to school. And sometimes you're giving it everything you got, and it looks like it's not enough. You feel like you're falling behind while other people are running past you. Sometimes life feels like that. And it can make you become discouraged. It could make you feel like throwing in the towel. When you feel like, I've been trying this Christian thing for a while. I've been trying to honor God on the job. I'm honest while other people are lying. And it seems like they're being promoted and I'm being held still. I'm doing the right thing, and it seems like all I'm getting back is a bunch of flack. I don't feel like I'm winning in life. I feel like I'm losing. Yeah. I'm listening to God. I'm going by the conviction that He's given me, and I feel like I'm not getting ahead. And I think it's in those times that we need to remember that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need to remember the goodness of God when we're pressing towards Him in life. And it seems like the more we press towards Him, the heavier life gets. Sometimes it feels like that. It just seems, you know what? Life doesn't seem fair right now. Why is all this stuff coming down on me? Why does it seem so dark? Why do I feel so dry? I'm praying and it feels like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. I'm worshiping and I can't feel His presence. God, where are you? Do you care? Do you see me? I'm trying to honor you. My kids are out of control. My marriage relationship is tension and it's struggling. God, what is going on here? And it's in those times we need to remember that if you will seek Him first, if you will honor Him, you're going to come out of those times where you thought you were losing and you're going to find out, you know what? You were winning the whole time. You were ahead. You see, you thought you were being set back, but you were being set up for a comeback. You thought the enemy was holding you down. It looked like you were going to be defeated. It looked like you weren't going to see the promises of God. And then you see how it breaks out in a more beautiful way than you ever imagined. Let's pull up Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Tonight's message is pressing and winning. Pressing and winning. There is a press. And there's a pressing that we need to do in life. If we are passive Christians, you will not live a victorious lifestyle that God has for you. You will not obtain everything that the Lord has in store for you for your life if you don't know how to get assertive in your own life and press towards the things of God. Amen. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. This is in the NIV. There we go. It says, not that I have already obtained. Paul's talking about how he wants to know Christ and how he wants to know the power of his resurrection. And he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Come on. Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To press towards everything that God has for you. To press towards and to lay hold of all the promises of God. Which, you know what? They are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He's not withholding from you. But sometimes there's a bit of time between when you receive a promise and when you lay hold of it. You see, God makes these promises to you, and then there's this thing called time that happens. And can you press through that time to lay hold of the promise? Through faith and patience, we do what? We inherit the promises through faith and patience. So all this makes me think of a mighty warrior in the Bible, great king, King David. Anybody heard of King David before? He's famous for taking down giants, right? But before King David ever did that, he was a shepherd out in the field taking care of his father's sheep. And he's out there and he's just playing his harp. He's just singing to God. He's being faithful in what he's responsible for, taking care of the sheep. And he's just worshiping the Lord. In the meantime, there's the first king of Israel named King Saul. And King Saul has rebelled against the word of God. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Arrogance. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and arrogance is... I forgot at the moment, but it's not good. So Saul, the Lord said, I have taken the kingdom away from you, and I've given it to somebody better than you. Little did David know that God was speaking about him. David's just out there taking care of his father's sheep, being faithful where he's at, and worshiping God the whole time. That's probably where he wrote Psalms 23, right? And so the kingdom is ripped away from Saul. Samuel comes over to the house of Jesse. Remember, he goes through all the sons of Jesse. None of them are the one. He goes, is there anyone else? Well, there's David, but he's out with the sheep. Call him. We're not even going to sit down till he gets here. David comes over, wasn't even lined up by Jesse. David comes over, and the Lord says, he is the one. He is anointed to be the next king of Israel. And then you see opportunity comes. Goliath is out there challenging all Israel, challenging them, saying, hey, I'll represent my army. You send your best warrior out to represent yours. Let us fight, and winner takes all. And this is going on for over a month every day. Goliath is coming out there taunting Israel and defying the God of Israel. David goes out just to drop off some stuff to his brothers, and he hears this Philistine out there. And he goes, what are you doing? And he looks at the people. He goes, what is going on? Why is nobody going out here to take on this guy? And they're like, you know, the person that takes him on doesn't have to pay taxes. And he actually gets to marry the king's daughter. So David's like, wait. Tell me again. Wait, hold on. Did you say the same thing? All right. David says to the king, don't let anybody be afraid of this guy, Goliath. I'm going to take care of it for you. David goes out there. We know the story. He slays Goliath. What they don't share in the children's books or in the cartoons is he actually takes Goliath's own sword and cuts off Goliath's head with it. Did exactly what he said he would do. And then David begins to just have victory after victory at this point. He's going. And then all the ladies start singing. They go, hey, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. And Saul becomes jealous. You know, not everybody is excited for you when you start succeeding. Some people will hate you just because they're jealous of you. Some people you feel like, you know what, I feel like we can be best friends. And yet there's something here. What's going on? There's this thing of jealousy that's in between. So Saul is jealous of David. Why are they crediting me only with thousands and David with his 10,000s? And so this begins to become a root that festers inside of King Saul. Soon he's throwing spears at David. When David's over here playing the harp to help Saul out, he's dealing with evil spirits. Whenever David would play the harp, the evil spirit would leave. Now here's King Saul trying to nail him to the wall. David now has to go on the run. He is running from the king that he honored, the king that was like a father to him. He is now on the run. He's running away, and Saul is chasing after him. Did David do anything wrong here? Did he do something wrong to have all this persecution come at him? Was he just trying to honor God? Was he just trying to do what was right? Was he seeking God first? But now he's on the run through no fault of his own, endeavoring to honor God with his life. People begin to gather around him. The leadership and the anointing on his life was drawing people. And it was drawing people who actually at first were they were people who were down and out. They were indebted. They were failing in life, but they saw David and they began to come up around him. These people that were failing in life ended up becoming David's mighty men from spending time with David. David is honoring God. He's on the run. Actually, two times he had the opportunity to kill Saul. Yep. Saul was trying to kill David for years. Mm-hmm. And now in two opportunities, David has a chance. Okay. Actually, David and his men are hiding in the back of this cave. Do you guys remember this? Yeah. Have you guys read your Bibles? 1 Samuel, come on. David and his men are in the back of this cave and Saul is looking for them. Right? And then Saul, he leaves his men and he goes into this cave to relieve himself. Okay? And while he's in there relieving himself, they're like, hey, check it out. This is your opportunity. This is David's men. They're saying, God has delivered him into your hand. You can go slay him right now. He's all by himself. David sneaks up behind them, cuts off a piece of his robe, and goes back. And then David feels convicted. Feels convicted for just cutting off his robe. He could have cut off his head. And then David stands up on a hill far away and says, Saul, I had the chance to take your life and I didn't do it. King Saul is like, oh my goodness, you're going to be the next king. You know, come down, let's be friends. But David knows, no, he might be happy in the moment, but this guy's going to try to kill me. So he goes, and nevertheless, Saul continues to pursue David. And then another thing happens. The king is laying in the middle of all of his men, and everybody's asleep at night. And check out how courageous the bravery of David and a couple of his men. They sneak into the camp. They walk by everybody as they're sleeping. Just David and a couple guys. He goes over to where King Saul is at, and he takes King Saul's spear, and he takes his, something like his water bottle, like a jar that he drank out of. And so he brings those and he takes them away and he sneaks off. He could have taken them out right there. Sneaks off. Then he stands up on a hill and he goes, oh king, who's the one that's supposed to protect you? They should be put to death. Aren't these yours? This is the second time God has given you into my hands, but I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. You see, he's living above reproach. He is honoring God. He's not looking for what's best for me. He's not looking out for number one. He's looking out to honor the Lord. He said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. The guy's trying to kill him. We get upset if somebody calls us a name. We get upset if somebody looks at us funny at work. King David is being hunted down by Saul. He has a promise of God already. He's already anointed to be king. And he is running for years away from King Saul. Eventually, David goes and he goes to live with the Philistines. You know, the Philistines are the bad guys. Right? Goliath was a Philistine. Right? David goes over there and he begins to live among the Philistines and he's deceiving them. He's acting like he's the enemy of Israel, but he's not really. And he's living in this town called Ziklag. They actually gave him his own town where him and his mighty men lived. And they're going and they're raiding and they're becoming more and more wealthy. They're having children over there. King Saul finds out that David's with the Philistines, so he stops pursuing them. And then one day, when David goes out raiding, while he's away, all the women and the children are back at Ziklag in the Philistine territory. And some raiding parties come through. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David has already been on the run for years. Now he's living with his enemies. You guys, it looks like he's losing. He's living among the enemy, afraid for his life. And now he goes away to go on another raid, to raid some of these people that were not, that were adversaries of Israel. And while he's away, some adversaries come and they raid Ziklag. That's his hometown. And when they raid Ziklag, they set it on fire. They take all the wealth. They take all the women, they take all the children, they take everything, and they leave the city in ruins, and they run away. Let's go ahead and pick this up. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30. I think you got it up there for me. Thank you. It says, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him, they all lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more power to weep. They are completely distraught, right? And David's two wives, Ahinoam, I'm not sure how you say that, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, that's a little easier, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So his wives are taken as well. Now David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Now the people who were nothing, who were failing in life, who had been with David for these years, who had become David's mighty men, now they are rising up and they're saying, it's David's fault. Grab your stones. This guy should be put to death. It's his fault that we are where we are. It's his fault that everything was taken and that our families are ruined. Did David do anything wrong? Was it David's fault? But everybody was blaming him for it. They wanted to find somebody to blame and they looked to him. Sometimes life is very unfair. People come at you and they say things about you that are complete lies. You're trying to honor God, and they're accusing you of all this perverse stuff. And you're thinking, this isn't my character. I honor God. They make fun of you for being a Christian. And then they try to call you a hypocrite. And they slander you, and they lie about you, and they put you down. But if you will continue to press, if you can remember the one that you serve, you see, there were some people who they sought the praises of men. These were the Pharisees. They knew who Jesus was, but they would not confess him openly. The Bible says because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. But if you can keep your focus right in the midst of the pressure and continue to press and do what David did, it says, but David did what? He strengthened himself in the Lord. His God. He encouraged himself. Instead of looking at everyone around him, instead of looking at the circumstances, instead of looking within and maybe feeling like a failure and feeling like, am I the reason? He looked to God and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And he found strength. He found encouragement. In the midst of everyone rises up against him, he stands up from that place of maybe singing the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Come on. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. The Lord is a mighty help. Hallelujah. The Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Lord, I put my hope in you. I will never be put to shame. My God, I look to you. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will wait upon you and I will see your salvation, faithful God. And he stands up and he goes, where's the priest? Bring the ephod. And he inquires of God. And this is something you see over and over in the life of David. He goes, let's inquire of the Lord. He goes, Lord, do I pursue? And the Lord said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. They go, they pursue. They took out the enemy. Not one of them escaped. I think it says a few ran away on camels. And then he's able to obtain all of their wives, all of their children. No one was dead. He saved everyone alive and obtained all the riches. And what David had no idea was happening at that moment. King Saul was in a battle with the Philistines. You see, at this moment, David could have gave up. He could have thrown in the towel. He could have felt like, you know what, I'm trying my best, but green is ahead. I'm doing my best, but I'm failing. What is going on here? How is green still beating me? At that moment, the king who was seeking his life was actually killed in battle. Him along with his sons. In just a short time, David goes from the lowest point in his life to being crowned king of Judah and then being crowned king of all Israel. And then God delivers all of his enemies into his hands. And what you see over and over is David, in those times of getting victory, he would seek the Lord and he would inquire of God. He wouldn't presume to just make up his own decisions. He would seek God every time. The enemy's going to come at him. God, do I pursue? Pursue them. Go at them this way. He inquires of the Lord. They're coming at him from another direction. God, do I pursue? The Lord says, no, don't do it like that. I got a strategy for you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come around the flank. God gave him divine strategy and he got victory after victory. And the Lord will do the same for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But it doesn't stop there. You see, God had made a promise to David that he would be king. And maybe David went through more hardship than he thought he would. And we could feel like that sometimes. We could feel like this is harder than I thought it was going to be. This is taking longer than I thought it would. This is heavier than I thought I could lift. And is it worth it? Is it worth it? Should I just let go? Should I just do what everybody else is doing? Should I throw in the towel? I've been believing for a long time. I've been standing. But you see, what God does with David's journey, it gets even better. The Lord gave David victory over all of his enemies. Everything's quiet around him. And David is seeing they had brought back the Ark of the Covenant over, and the Ark of the Covenant is in the tabernacle, which is this amazing tent they designed in the time of Moses. God gave him the designs for this tent where the Ark of the Covenant would be. And that's where the glory of God would come. And David looks over and he goes, I'm in this palace and the Ark of God is in a tent. And he goes, I want to build God a house. And he says this to Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan goes, you know what? Do whatever's in your heart. But God appears to Nathan. He goes, well, you spoke too soon. He goes, no. He goes, I want you to go tell David this. He goes, no judge, no one that I've ever raised up has ever said that they want to build me a house. And he goes, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to make you a house. And when he was saying house there, he wasn't just talking about a building. He was talking about a lineage. And God begins to speak to David. And we could pick this up in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. It says, when the days are fulfilled and you rest, this is God speaking to David. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. Remember this. We're going to talk about this. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. How long?
Forever.
Let's go to verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. You see, I was talking about this with some people the other day, and I was thinking, what do you think people would rather? Would they rather themselves be successful and their kids be failures? Or would they rather vice versa? Would you rather you didn't reach the things that you wanted to in your life, but your kids outdid you and your kids were more successful? And I talked about it with someone for a little bit, and it seemed pretty unanimous that everybody would rather see their kids outdo them, go farther, reach greater things, go to greater heights than they ever did. So you see what God is speaking to David right here. And he says, you're not going to build a house for me, but your seed will. And we know Solomon is the son of David, and Solomon built the temple, but this was not the seed that God was referring to. Come on. David was so overjoyed when he heard that. Thank you, God. Who am I? I was nothing. I was a shepherd. I was in the field with the sheep. I was nothing. And you raised me up to be a king. And now you say, not only am I going to be king, but my throne is going to last forever. God, you are too good. You are too good. And he didn't know how good. He did not know how good. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Look at this. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking, and you may have recognized this. You hear this around Christmas time. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Keep going. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will not be an end." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to go on forever. Hallelujah. "Of the increase of his kingdom and peace, there will not be an end upon the throne of David." What? David had no idea the goodness of God that was going to follow. Let's finish this. "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it, the judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David knew it was good, but he didn't know how good. And maybe when he received the promise and he was anointed, he didn't know how hard it was going to be. He didn't know the difficulty that was set before him. He didn't know that his loved ones were going to turn against him. He didn't know that everything was going to come crashing down and the people that came to him were going to talk about stoning him. "This is more than I thought it was going to be," David's saying. "Is it worth it?" And then he sees not only was it worth it, and it was far more than he thought, but then from his line and his seed would come the promised Messiah, would come the Lord Jesus Christ, and the throne that he sat on would be called the throne of David. He had no idea the goodness of God. I'm running short of time, so I'm going to jump over here, and I want you guys to check out Revelations 3:21. I want to encourage you not to give up. I want to encourage you to keep pressing towards the things of God. It's going to reward far more than you can imagine. It's going to be worth it far more than what you could think. Look what Jesus says. He says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." This is Jesus in heaven. This is Jesus, the glorified Savior. Hallelujah. He says, "I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." The Bible says that these light and momentary trials are not even worthy to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed in you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20 says what? Let's pull it up. Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us." Come on. To him be glory. Let's go to the next one. Let's give him glory. Amen. Amen. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. If you can keep pressing to victory, keep pressing on. Know that God, that the one who promised is faithful. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 10:35, it says, Now, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. David had to press through all the hard times. He had to press through all the persecution. He had to press through all the disappointment. And then he received the blessing of the Lord. He received the glories of the kingdom that came his way. Amen. And every king after him was compared to him. If you will keep pressing and not give up, don't throw in the towel. Keep standing firm, knowing that when I put God first, it's not going to cost, it's going to pay.
That's right.
And it's going to pay much, much more, and far more than you can ask or think. No more of this halfway lifestyle, halfway in the world, halfway with God, compromising because you're thinking, man, it might cost too much if I go all in for Jesus. No, when you go all in for him, you're going to see him going all in for you. And he's going to take you beyond what you can do to see what he can do through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in this room tonight. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen them with might by your spirit in their inner being. I pray, Lord, that if they're feeling weary right now, that you would come and bring your refreshing in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that as they look to you, they would experience a strength far beyond their own. David, after all of that, he wrote Psalms 18, and he starts off by saying, I love you, O Lord, my strength. You could know the Lord as your strength. Lord, let them know you as their strength. Let them know you as your helper, God. Lord, let us turn to you, Lord. Hallelujah. When we feel overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Lead us, Lord, to your presence, mighty God. I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You are faithful to all your word and to all your promise, God. Help us to continue to stand and to receive what you have promised, God. We ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.